Sure.
I'm just imagining, because you know they make these like sex bots.
Yeah.
How come they only have two boobs? Why don't they have like eight boobs? Don't guys love boobs? Why isn't the thing covered with boobs? Do you know what I mean? That's where I would go with it. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Katie is going to kick off with some listener mail.
That's right. So we got an email. And listeners, you can always get in touch with us by sending an email to heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well, if you have a segment idea or just want to shout us out.
Or say something. Yeah. Speak your mind. It's fine.
Be heard.
Yes. Okay. It says, hello. To make up for that know-it-all Elizabeth Gilbert email I sent a week or so ago. I'm sending you this link I got at Nerdist.com.
Okay, awesome.
Consider it advance warning to avoid ocean cruises for the foreseeable future, unless you've seen this already, in which case you can safely ignore. Thanks again for the great podcast, Sid.
Okay, thanks, Sid.
Yeah.
So, we love a follow-up.
Yeah, so I went to the link, and it was...
Was it amazing? So did you put on a helmet before you went to the link?
I pretty much
should have. He kind of warned you.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So it's on you.
But this is, there is a swimming robot that looks like a snake and it has glowing red eyes.
No, it does not.
It sure does.
Are you serious?
This is what it looks like.
That just looks like hell.
Yeah, it does. It's like the most terrifying thing you could ever see underwater.
It looks like if you've seen The Matrix where they have those weird octopus looking things, mm-hmm. the tentacles. That's what it looks like. It's like an evil tentacle.
It looks like a snake with glowing red eyes.
Why would they make it have glowing red eyes?
So the swimming robot you see in the video, mm-hmm. or the picture, sorry. Yeah.
The image.
It's slithered onto our radar. It's the product of a collaboration between three companies.
Or our friends from Boston.
Dynamic, no, they're not involved. This is a Norwegian and, this is like a Norwegian company, a couple of several Norwegian companies. And though the slinky water bot was built with good intentions, it still has little demon red lights on its head that makes it look like it wants to be a sentinel from the Matrix.
See, this is the thing. And like, Norwegian culture is not so far from our culture that they wouldn't know. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's freaky to them, too.
Yeah.
So.
But the swimming bot is supposed to make underwater inspection and maintenance for structures like oil rigs and offshore wind farms far more efficient and cost-effective.
Why did they make it like a snake that looks like evil, though?
Because it's narrow, and it can get into those little narrow areas mm-hmm. that little tiny hands normally go.
I have no idea what the bottom of the ship is like. You seem to know more than I do, so I'm going to go with it. You seem like you know what you're talking about.
I do know what I'm talking about. Because have you seen the Poseidon Adventure? The old one, not the new one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know how they have
to... This is our reference point for shipping. This movie is how old? It's like as old as we are. And I'm like, yes, I'm with you.
So in any case, the Poseidon, the boat, big tidal wave, turns it over.
Yeah. Shelley Winters
and company have to get out somehow. But one of the things they need to do is swim underwater and open up something to get to the other.
Yeah, some kind of valve or something.
Yeah, but if you had a swimming robot, then you could have just sent that.
I guess. Although, once again, this goes under the... I mean, are they going to say search and rescue? Because if I see that thing coming for me, it's probably the last thing I'm ever going to see.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have a heart attack. Yeah, I'm going to die on the spot if I see a red slithering...
They made it to look like a snake because it can get into these tight spots, these tight areas and other inspection that other inspection vessels previously could not.
But why not make it cute like Hello Kitty?
Because Hello Kitty doesn't fit in the little spots.
I'm just saying paint it nicely so put a flower on it or something.
It will also be able to do light maintenance like cleaning equipment, adjusting valves and chokes.
How? It has no hands.
It has like a gripper.
Oh, jeez. This is terrifying.
I'm motioning with my hand.
Yes, and I'm creeped out by it.
Yeah, and so in the front of the snake, mm-hmm. so you got the red eyes coming mm-hmm. at you, and the mouth is like a clamp.
A little hand?
It's like a little clamp.
And it comes out.
And that's what does the maintenance. So it gets in there and it turns things.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's really scary looking, but it's supposed to be really effective.
But it's a I just feel like in the future they're going to be like, yeah, it looks like a murderous ape on a rampage. But there's actually just, this is just the form it took in order to get the job done.
Yeah, because...
Because that's
it can't look like anything else.
No, it has to look like something horrifying.
It does. But I tell you, if I saw anything in the water that looked like that,
I'm out of the water.
Out of the water.
Yes. Or I'm a
too sweet.
Or if I feel like I can't get away from it, I'm attacking it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be wrapped around my hand. It's gonna be a fight to the death. Oh, only one of us is gonna
and
make
you're a
it.
Little cooler in the water, so you're gonna have to be working harder, and you're gonna be terrified.
It's gross. I really think these things are just gonna fall into the wrong hands. Yeah. Boston Dynamics. I'm looking at you.
Yeah. So, Sid, thank you so much. We appreciate you sending the email and the link, and thank you for giving me nightmares.
Yeah, I'm sufficiently creeped out.
Yeah.
So, I have a little barnyard news. Barnyard news is a segment where we talk about animals that are sometimes in the barnyard.
Sometimes they're not in the barnyard. We're not going
to... No. It's not up to us to decide.
We don't tell you where you should be.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of animals probably should not be in the barnyard situation, and they are. This is one, an octopus from New Zealand. Escaped from an aquarium.
What?
Yes. So it's called Inky the Octopus, and he found freedom after escaping from the National Aquarium of New Zealand. Now, I feel like either this is like the worst aquarium ever, if animals are just fucking getting out and running off.
Okay.
So basically, when they shut down the aquarium at night, he was there. He was still there. In the morning, he's gone. The theory is that he climbed out of the tank, slid across the side of the aquarium floor, and he found a drain pipe.
Oh, my God.
Got into that and went back into the sea.
That's awesome.
I think it's awesome, too.
Way to go.
But it just shows that, like, these animals don't want to be in these environments.
Yeah.
Like, that's taking a risk.
Yeah.
Like, how many octopus have really just gone across a floor? Do you know what I mean? Right, like, that's a lot to do. He's away from water for a long time. He found the drain.
So
he got
are
out.
We sure that he found the drain and got out? Or is he on somebody's plate right now? Growing up.
Yes, he's some calamari.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of oil on the side, a little bit of some lemon. I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing that they could think of is that it just got out and it shimmied away. Because, you know, octopuses, they can fit into anything. Mm-hmm. Like, they can get, if there's a little space underneath the door, they can squeeze under that. Like, they're very, very crafty.
Oh, like a mouse. Get around.
Like a mouse, yeah.
Okay.
Which is funny, because when I was a kid, they used to always say that. Like, mice can, you know, they don't have real vertebrae. They can get under a door. I'd never seen a mouse do that before. I've heard about it.
Yeah, that's what, this is like this lore about the mouse. It's like, if their head fits there, they can get their whole body in there.
But I've never seen a mouse squeeze anywhere.
I've tried to put my head places. My body doesn't follow.
It doesn't get through. Yeah, I think there's a significant difference between the sides of my head and my body.
Yeah.
That would not allow me to do this.
All right.
But anyway, it said they said he had always been very curious.
Mm-hmm. Always say why.
They always said he was a bit of a surprise type octopus. And he got out. So I don't know why they figured out, how they figured out. Someone must have seen it. Maybe he had help.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe there was someone who, like, cleans at night and was like, I've had enough, and let him get out. Yeah. I don't know. But it's just interesting. So he escaped. That, to me, means, like, that he didn't want to be in there.
Yeah.
I have conflicting feelings about, because we talked about this before. And there's a book that's just coming out talking about how we can't really study animals because we don't understand what animals are thinking or how they communicate. And we think they're much, much smarter. I'm sorry. We think we're smarter than they are. So we kind of look down on them.
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know.
An attitude problem.
Yeah, but for all we know, this guy had something to do.
Yeah.
He had a wife and a kid to get back to.
Right.
Or he just had enough.
Yeah.
You know, of being in a tiny, tiny area.
Imagine that, where you don't have to pay bills, so you don't have to deal with currency or anything, and you can just do whatever.
And then you're still getting locked up.
Yeah, but now you're locked up, and you're like, I don't have to be here.
Yeah. I can just leave. So I think it's interesting that he left. But, they said that, the tank lid was left slightly ajar one night, and then he got out.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Run, Forrest, run. All right, what do you have?
I have robot news.
Oh, cool. More crazy robot news?
Yes, okay. This is more. Get ready, everyone.
For the robot uprising?
This is delicate, but we're all grown-ups here.
Okay, oh.
Let us proceed. Humans get turned on when feeling up Robux.
I read some articles about that have been going around.
Yeah.
They're asking people to grope a robot?
Yeah. It says that people respond to robots in a primitive social way, and that touching someone else's private parts apply to a robot's body parts as well? So people are relating to robots like they were people.
Okay. So, were they grabbing ass already? No robot is safe.
That could influence robot design. It's not too far a leap to imagine how this information could influence robots used for, well, certain kinds of pleasure.
I'm just imagining, because, you know, they make these, like, sex bots.
Yeah.
How come they only have two boobs? Why don't they have, like, eight boobs? Don't guys love boobs? Why isn't the thing covered with boobs? You know what I mean? That's where I would go with it. If there's something that you like.
There was an experiment designed in which a small humanoid robot was programmed to instruct humans to touch it in various places on its body. Okay, so the robot's like, you can touch my elbow, you can touch my neck, you can touch my chestoral region, whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
How did he say it? Come on,
just
girls.
Just like that.
Get in there, don't get shy.
Volunteer human subjects, meanwhile, wore sensors that measure changes in their sympathetic nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
The sensors measure their skin conductance, which is an indicator of physiological arousal.
Okay.
So when the robot asked the human subject, 4 female, 6 male.
That's it?
Yeah. To touch its butt, genitals.
What genitals?
Well, the robot genitals.
There's some, like, 2 bolts
where,
and a screw, literally.
Whatever, like, touch this area. There's nothing there.
Okay.
But they're, like, touch between the robot legs.
Okay.
All right. Measurable spikes were registered in the skin sensors. In fact, over the course of 26 trials, researchers found that the subjects became aroused when touching, and we quote, the less accessible regions.
Wow. How far did they go?
They were just touching.
That's bizarre.
That's a third.
Yeah, I got the third.
Arousal responses did not trigger when subjects were asked to simply point at the robot.
Mm-hmm.
The arousal increased the closer they got to touching the regions in question.
Weren't they probably thinking about actual regions while they're doing it? I'm thinking. You know?
Yeah.
The same way that people get aroused by looking at a photograph or a mannequin.
No, but the thing was, then the robot, they're like, what kind of robot is this? So that it's just really looking like a robot.
Oh, really? It's not human
looking, it's not
like
human.
At all?
It's like a...
Gibbo.
Yeah. You know, it's...
Something from Boston Dynamics.
Yeah, it's a robot.
Top
you look at it and go, eh, it's a robot.
Oh, you're not, that's
you're
creepy.
Not, you're not done.
So what are they trying to, like, first of all, why? and second of all, like, what are the applications of this? Like, what are they going to do
just
next?
About the response of humans when we touch robots, because we're going to be touching them.
I'm not touching a robot. If a robot asks me to touch their inaccessible parts, I'm turning it off.
Our work shows that robots are a new form of media that is particularly powerful.
I mean, I guess. I don't know what to say about that. That's strange.
Yeah, but it's something about us as humans, if we're touching even inanimate objects.
But it's somewhat of a, it's, so we're being conditioned to relate to them as humans.
Yeah.
And this conditioning has been going on for some time. I mean, people get excited from blow-up dolls.
Yeah.
So it's not, I think that if the robot looked like a toaster and it was like, hey, why don't you just go ahead and slip something in, it's like, no. It's
No. It has to have a
human-like
form. Yeah, like a head, a torso, arms, yeah, and legs.
Things that we only primates and people share, that kind of
just
thing.
Just like if you squint at it.
Yeah, you can maybe see a pretty girl.
Maybe. But it's not even with a face or anything. It has like a screen for eyes.
Oh, that's creepy.
So it's that kind of robot. It's not looking like a person.
I'm freaked out by robots. I also wonder too, because they only tested 10 people. What if they got people like me who are like, ugh.
Mm.
I'm not touching a robot. I'm sorry. No thanks. I'm not interested. And don't touch me. All right. So I have some penis news.
Okay, speaking.
This is a segment where I like to report on dicks in the news, you know, scrotum stories, dick updates, that kind of stuff. And this article says here that a circumcised penis is just as sensitive as an uncircumcised penis.
Okay.
I was surprised by that. Because you always hear that, you know, if you still got the shaft, you know, the piece
foreskin
that goes with the foreskin over it,
mm-hmm,
that obviously what's underneath it is going to be more sensitive,
yeah,
because it's less, you know, out there. Apparently not so much, according to a Canadian study. So, basically... Well, this is the weird part. They took 62 penises. Half,
that's a good number.
Half circumcised.
Okay.
The other half not circumcised. And, They got guys who were circumcised as newborns. I didn't know there was any other way to do it. Like, I don't know anyone who's getting circumcised at, like, 20 years old.
No, I don't think so.
I should hope not. So they looked at them, and they found that they were just they were equally sensitive to touch. So they did this by poking and prodding the 62 penises. They had in quantitative sensory testing. So they use a device to touch men at various points on their penis. It's a spring-based tool with a cotton swab.
Ooh.
So they poked at it. And then
like a pen.
Yeah, and then had the guys kind of report back on how they felt. Okay. So they poked the shaft, they poked the head, they poked the whole thing. They were saying, in the past, people were saying that the when you're circumcised, the head of the penis, mm-hmm. over time, becomes resistant to touch. I can tell you that's not true.
It
becomes hardened,
yeah.
and mm-hmm. resistant to touch. I'm like, no. If anyone who has seen a penis, I've never seen a penis that looked rough. You know what I mean? That didn't look like it was sensitive.
Okay.
Like, that's not... that's bizarre
it
to
is
even
strange.
Think that.
It's a strange train of thought.
Yeah. So, basically, people who are... whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, you still experience the same level of touch, the same level of pleasure. There's no difference mm-hmm. whatsoever. And that's what they came up with, the penis news. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I assumed it wouldn't be the same. You know, it's like if you always wear a shoe, and then one day you go barefoot. It's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But if you never wear shoes, you can put out a cigarette butt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Basically. Not so much for the penis.
That's so funny.
All right, what do you have?
I have here, I have some advice.
Oh, cool. So Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we like to improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice.
This says here, this is Dear Prudence.
Okay. A classic already.
Yeah. My fiancé picks his nose.
Oh.
He has some sort of medical condition where he's constantly stuffed up sniffing every year from October to March.
Okay.
He thinks it's just because of the cold winter air. I'd be fine with him picking his nose if he did it in the bathroom or in the other room, but we've had several fights about him doing it when we're cuddling on the couch.
What?
Sitting in bed or working together at the table.
Are you doing finger up nose?
Yeah.
Just naked finger?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
To appease me, he won't do it while we're eating.
And,
but he thinks I'm not taking his medical issue seriously when I tell him to knock it off or go to the doctor. Help.
By saying go to the doctor, doesn't that mean you're taking it seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise.
So, you got a real keeper there.
Yes. First of all, what are you still doing there, lady? Picking his, like, okay.
Come on.
We all know that there are occasions where one does have to pick one's nose.
Yes. Yeah.
But get it together, man.
You go
to the bathroom.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that you, especially you're cuddling on the couch.
Yeah.
And this guy's got his finger up his, and where is he putting it afterwards?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I just got like sick.
But like what?
I had to look away. Oh, I can't believe I brought this in. Why
he
did
gets
I do this?
Constantly washing your hands if you're not.
Oh, he's not. If he's sticking his finger up his nose, he thinks it's okay.
Go to work with that nose?
And
that's
a way to get sick.
Yes.
Sicker.
That's what I'm saying. You're passing germs. And also, you clearly have a problem that you need to address. And your finger is not a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you think you're doing up there with your finger is not helping.
Yeah. Oof. All right. The advice is, I'm very sorry that your fiancé has sinus problems.
Yes.
I do not believe that chronically picking his nose while eating and or cuddling his significant other is a very good medical solution. I do not believe that you should have to ask someone not to pick their nose while they're holding you, much less have them do it repeatedly. Winter is not a good excuse for constant nose picking.
I like that. Because she said it was from November to...
From October to March. Asking him to see a doctor is the definition of taking his medical issues seriously.
Yes, this is great advice. My advice on that advice is hooray.
Yeah, there has to be a bar, right? There has to be some kind of personal hygiene bar that a person needs to clear in order for a relationship to be successful. And I do not believe your fiancé is currently meeting it or even trying to. Yeah, that's nasty.
That's disgusting.
I wonder, you know.
It's got to be a fixation, right?
It's a fixation, and it's also one of these things, like, I want you to, listeners, think about your current self and then think about your future self. Think about your significant others and what they're going to be like in 10 years, 20 years. It's not cute.
No, not at all.
No, everybody. It's not. It's, you have to develop these habits now that are going to take you at your, when, you know, who wants like an old man, like 60 or 70, picking his nose?
For 6 months out of the year.
Yeah. Do you want to be with that?
But my,
maybe like attractive now, but not with the nose picking, like, but.
In general.
In general.
Yeah.
But things get worse.
Yeah, it's going to go south, and he's still going to be picking that nose.
Yeah, and you're going to be stuck with him.
I'm just wondering, like, you know, aside from the taboo of it, like, it is spreading germs all over the place.
Yeah. And what else is he doing?
But, like, how does he conduct his life for those 6 months of the year? Like, you know what I mean? Does he pick his nose at work?
Yeah.
Is he picking it in the car? Is this motherfucker in the mall?
Mm-hmm.
Is he touching fruit? That's why you have to wash everything before you touch or eat anything.
I see some guys on the subway, on the PATH train, they're picking their nose and, like, trying to act like...
Like it's casual?
Yeah.
I saw one guy doing the other, that was sitting near me, like, maybe, not exact, there was no one between us. We were, like, a three-seat thing. He was picking his nose. I'm like, I'm going to look and see. Because it was, like, I looked because I just wanted to know that, did you just not give a shit at all? Do you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't even trying to be cute about it or, like, keep it on the down low. He was just really picking his nose. And I'm like, I always carry tissue with me wherever I go. I have tried to get people to use tissues.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Because I figure if I saw you and you were, like, sniffling a lot, I'd be like, hey, do you want a tissue?
Yeah.
Right? No. These people are not interested. It's like, look, I know there's something in your nose and you need to get it out.
But you
We're also on the subway, so please do not touch anything on here.
So gross.
Do not touch the pole. Do not,
touching,
you know,
everything, yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I think he's got some kind of a fixation. It's like biting your nails or picking at your, you know.
Yeah, that's a really gross one.
It's really bad.
I don't understand how they can be together.
I'm surprised that she didn't just say, get out of there.
Yeah. That's what was wrong with the advice.
Yes.
The advice is she needs to break up with this guy.
Is the one where it's run.
Yeah.
Period.
Run fast.
Run fast.
Don't look back.
Don't look back. You've got nothing. There's nothing back there but boogers. What the hell? You remember when we were kids? There were always those loser kids who picked their nose.
Yeah.
And it was just like nobody even wanted to deal with
it. Yeah.
This is this guy.
Yeah.
And somehow he found the girlfriend. Ladies. We're making it too easy for people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awful.
I got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat. 209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Funklife NYC.
All right, what do you have?
So I found something here that is some wine news.
All right.
This is called Man Can, and it's wine in a can. It is developed by men for men.
Wait, what is it called?
Man Can.
Man Can, but it's wine in a can.
It's wine in a can. Man Can wine in a can. There's some guy named Graham Vasey. If his vision comes true, the beer guy won't be the only chant that fans hear throughout, like, the baseball field.
Mm-hmm.
He wants guys walking up and down the aisles yelling, get your wine here. Get your wine in a can at the baseball game.
Boy.
So the man can is 12.6 ounces, which is half a bottle of wine.
Oh,
so you're changing.
Yeah,
you're coming around. You're coming around. Half a bottle of wine. And it's produced in Sonoma.
All right.
It's non-vintage blends, and they will be $5 for one can.
Well, you
or
see,
four for 20. You're like, he's a genius.
He is a genius.
And
I think that's amazing because, you know, sometimes you go and you get these pours of wine in places. And, it's
and
like
they're chintzy.
And they're tiny glasses.
It's a shot.
I'm like, what are you doing?
So this is a...
Don't you know this is Katie Gasmere?
Yes.
What's going on?
So the man can. He came up with the idea. He's a wine drinker and he spent the day working. He was doing some drywall for the day.
Okay.
And he met up with a friend. And they wanted to have some wine.
All right.
But he said that we didn't want to go through the rigmarole of choosing a varietal. They didn't want a beer. So then he turned to his friend and was like, hey, why ain't there wine in a can? What's so fun? The only thing that they could find was Coppola's Sophia Blanc de Blanc, which
all
I've had before. It's not bad.
That's all right.
Which is a little magenta colored can. It comes with a straw, but it's only 187 milliliters, whereas this will be 375 milliliters. See, those things are tiny. It looks like a can of tab.
You need milliliters.
Yes. When you talk about wine, so you can get specific. So the Coppola Sofia Blanc de Blanc, it looks like a tab can. Okay. It's really small. I bought a 4-pack of those before.
What are you going to do? It's just a bunch of garbage now.
Yeah.
Because
it's too small.
It's too much packaging, too little mm-hmm. stuff.
So then he thought they brought the domain Man Can Wine. Right. Boy, can they ever. And it launched last October. And it owned a gold medal. So the kind of wine that's inside of it is a Viognier, which is a really nice kind of wine.
Okay.
So they have a red wine, a white wine, and they have one that has a fizz. Well, he says it's semi-sparkling.
Okay.
So it's got a little shine on it, but not a whole lot. And they said they deliberately wanted to do a non-varietal, non-vintage, because they want all of them to taste the same. Because mm-hmm. you know, with wine, from year to year,
yeah.
it can, you know, the flavor can change. He said he's been drinking wine since he was a small kid. When his
what?
His grandparents what? Used to pour him a little wine when he was a teenager.
Well, he must
not
be,
knocking it back.
It must be an Italian family, because that's something that they will let you do in the
Graham
Italian
Vase,
world.
Yeah.
Because they teach you to have a little bit of wine at dinner, and that's how you're supposed to drink it, just a little glass.
Like a normal person.
Yeah.
So his grandparents would say, give it to him and say, don't tell your parents. He said he's always enjoyed wine, but he hasn't nerded out on it. It's so weird. Like, people are intimidated by wine. Just go buy it and drink it.
Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. You don't have to, whatever tastes good to you, mm-hmm. drink it. I like a nice apple-y wine.
Yeah. I mean, it's just don't be intimidated. And also, if you go to a wine store, just ask.
Yeah.
They're hoping to have it in Whole Foods and stores like that pretty soon. Man Can Wines. I'll try it.
All right.
You know, why not? I mean, it looks pretty interesting. And I like the idea of not having a bottle
mm-hmm.
and not having to deal with getting, having a cup. Because sometimes you want to have wine outside, but
yeah,
you want to take it
true.
With you.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have a corkscrew. You don't want to deal with wine glasses
that's
or
true.
Any of that kind of stuff. So this wine in a can, it's better than the wine in a cup.
Yeah.
Remember the Coppa di Vino? It's
yeah.
like a little plastic cup and you peel back.
That's right, yeah.
You peel back the top, the wine is terrible.
The wine is terrible, and then you're also, when you're peeling it back, sometimes that glue is a little more, that the adhesive is stronger than you think.
Mm-hmm.
You pull it and the whole thing goes.
Yeah, like with the yogurt.
Yeah.
Always a little bit comes out. And also, this is a half a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So two bottles of wine, basically, for $20.
You sold me on half a bottle of
mm-hmm.
wine.
Man can.
Okay.
Nice. Wine in a can. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
No. So Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore,
ghost
urban
stories.
Urban legends, sometimes ufology.
Yeah.
And we tell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
Yes.
Okay. This is by Mike Five. Mike Five.
Okay.
Okay.
Mike Five.
Says the author is a middle-aged adult.
Why do they always say they have to pick that? They have to say something.
They
right?
have to say something.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from California.
I'm going to put a spring chicken. Okay.
Okay. This story is called Indisputably There.
Okay.
Obviously.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The wife and I said our goodnights and we're facing, and I was facing one way towards the wall on the other side, which is our backyard.
Okay.
She was facing the other way. We were back to back.
Okay. What's on her side, though?
In front of her, a short distance was the door to enter our room.
Okay.
So what do you think about that? The woman
sleeps by the door?
No, the woman shouldn't sleep by the door.
Traditionally, the woman sleeps away from the door.
Right.
I always make Greg sleep by the door in case something comes in.
That's right. That's the way a man should
sleep.
By
the window.
Right.
Right.
So already,
yeah,
people
problems.
Don't know how they should sleep in bed.
Boo.
Okay. Right through the wall came a gentleman about 5'11" tall. Came through the wall. Yeah. He's getting
just
right
casual,
into the store. Yeah. He was about 5'11" tall, not 6 feet. I don't know why he got 5'11".
Why 5'11"?
How did you
just
say
tell?
6 feet?
Very tall.
Wearing a gray plaid shirt and gray pants.
Okay. So a boring guy.
Or a chef.
Or a chef, yeah.
The man proceeded to walk past our bed. It was at the foot of our bed, and I laid frozen, except for turning my head to follow where he was going. As soon as he walked past...
So he's lying in bed. He sees a man coming through their
wall.
He doesn't say anything.
He just kind of starts tracking him.
Maybe he'll just walk back out.
As soon as he walked past Midway, our bed, and reached the point where my wife, facing the other direction, might have been able to see him by way of peripheral vision,
mm-hmm.
sure enough, she did catch his slow movement past our bed.
I would have been pissed. And be like, you didn't say anything?
Yeah. Right?
How long has this dude been in here?
As she turned her head to see him, she could also see, looking past her shoulder, that my head was turned as I watched the dude, too. This is too much exploration.
Okay.
You're both in the bed. You're looking in different directions. The thing walks by and you both are seeing it.
So my wife and I were lying in bed, and we saw.
Yeah.
I saw it first, then she saw it. Okay. Right.
Our eyes met with the same WTF look.
Across the crowded bed. Okay.
Our eyes met the same WTF look in them. As we both then watched as he took about 5 more steps, then turned around and walked out through the door on another wall, which led to the backyard.
You need to get these walls checked.
I know.
Some serious construction issues.
Walked through the door, did not open it.
Okay.
The way it went down with us being back in bed, then her looking back at me over her shoulder, still laying back in bed.
Oh, my goodness. So they didn't do anything?
We saw the same dude exactly, but that's all we know. He has not yet returned to my knowledge.
Weird.
So I immediately, when I read this story, I'm like, that is called a residual haunting.
Okay.
That is where the same
They're trapped story, there?
Yeah, it's almost like a video. Like, help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the same thing happens over and over. It's not, they're not really there. You're just seeing the same image just mm-hmm. play itself.
Is it because over and something over. Dramatic happened?
It could be, or it's that, I think, I'm going to try to explain this. Ready?
Go for it.
Sometimes that energy is captured if there's, like quartz in the ground.
Okay.
And that's.
And it projects the image.
And it projects it over and over again.
Yeah.
That's a very simplistic explanation.
Did they do the research on their home?
Yeah.
That's always the next question.
So here are some comments.
Did you research your house?
Yeah. If that were my husband and I was in the room, I would have probably left him there with the ghost. All right. That's one. And another one says, from what you wrote, it seems like he was just passing through in his time, not in yours. And I'm like, no.
No.
No, it's not. It's not a whole time thing. I'm telling you.
It's just happening over residual. And over again.
See, but I think that my explanation is best.
That it's a...
It's a residual.
I mean, but he only saw it one time.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe it's been doing it, but they
haven't been paying attention. I would say if it were whatever time it was, they should try to see if it's, you know, to
comes
be
back at the same
in that same position, mm-hmm. how they were lying, not facing each other with the wife by the door and him and the other, but whatever,
mm-hmm.
and see if it happens again, if they don't see it. I just think it's weird that, like, the husband saw it and didn't say anything, and then the wife saw it, and she was just kind of like, well.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I think the idea was that they saw it passing through, that the husband saw it first and was like, am I really seeing this? And then the wife saw it as it kept going.
It's interesting. If I saw something like that, what would I do? Maybe nothing also. I mean, what are you going to do?
I would freeze.
That's what they did. Yeah. You just freeze in place.
Yeah. They're like, what?
No, nothing to see here. Moving along.
Because if you're afraid to, if you move it and then it sees
spook
you.
It, yeah.
And then it's like, arr.
That's true. Maybe it's not interested in you at all.
Yeah.
It's just doing its thing. Just like when people pass by you and they don't care about what you're doing. That's interesting. I like that one.
Right.
That's cool. A middle-aged man.
Middle-aged man writing this stuff.
So I found here's a little piece of ufology.
Okay.
There's something called a UFO ID. It looks like UFOID, which mm-hmm. is probably not what they say. But it's a UFO detection software that will automatically record video in the event that a UFO comes around.
Okay.
And then, you know, you could share it, whatever. So it's a platform, and they provide a platform to share the recorded videos and have them analyzed with other people. It says, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, your opinion matters and is used to identify the objects. So basically, it's the UFO detector. It works with your computer's webcam,
mm-hmm.
which wouldn't show anything except for the rest of my office.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever. But it says the camera must be pointed in the direction of the sky.
Okay.
So I just have to lay it flat, my computer at this point. And it captures the footage. The software allows a user to choose which parts of the screen to monitor, and it's also supposedly to rule out other objects. So it should be able to tell you if it's a plane or a bird or something like that. But the goal is to record UFOs and not just be capturing tons and tons and tons of video. So like every time something moves, it's...
So it has to turn on, then it has to identify what it is.
It has
to
identify what it is.
Oh, that's just a bird. I'm going to shut down.
But I have no idea how that would work. Because what is it going to identify as... I mean, I guess if it can't identify it as a UFO, because it's an unidentified flying object. But I mean, that's not really the basis for a piece of software in my mind.
Right.
Like, we don't know what it is. So it must be...
It's going on, ruling out all these different shapes.
So I don't know. That's pretty much what it is.
All right.
It's just a piece of software. Anyone can get it for their computer. They're trying to put it on a bunch of different platforms. And then also they're trying to have a feature so that you can't tamper with the video. So you can't make it look more UFO like than it already is. I just thought that's interesting. Like, I don't know how it's going to work though.
I don't know either.
So as long as it's not identified.
Yeah.
It fits in with what they're looking for.
Right. So if they can't figure out,
if they can't figure out what it is, then it must be a UFO. I'm just like, I have no idea. All right.
This is a little thing here that I came across.
A nice picture.
Yeah. The picture is a woman with a baby strapped to her chest.
Mm-hmm.
The baby is sleeping peacefully and she's got a gun.
Nice.
Not the baby.
Because of America. Well, okay.
So, Sarah, in the February gun and baby carrying workshops.
What?
In Johnson, Iowa, were so successful that the instructor, Melody Lohrer, and Crossroads shooting sports owner Tom Hudson plan more.
I don't understand. Is Iowa not one of the safest places in America? who are they?
It just says here,
do they have cities?
She does not necessarily encourage a baby-holding mother to arm herself, but if she chooses to...
Baby-holding mamas, part two. The bitch is back.
Safety would, of course, require that she be familiar with the tricky procedure of drawing, aiming, and firing, even though she might be wearing a baby in a sling in front of her body.
Are people attacking white women with babies in slings in Iowa?
Hudson, noting the fast-growing market of gun sales to women, said scheduling a workshop was a no-brainer, and people are loving it.
People showed up with a real baby?
I don't know.
And they practiced doing a fast draw?
I hope not. I hope they don't do it with real babies. I hope they have a fake baby, like a resuscitation baby.
Do you really think these jackasses are bringing in a resuscitation? Like, I think people are showing up with their baby. And they're working on how to draw a weapon. Like, what's happening in Iowa?
With it, they are learning how to draw their weapon with it while holding a baby.
But I'm saying, my question is, are people getting ambushed in the Super Walmart parking lot? Or, what is going on when you have... Are people targeting women with babies? This is crazy.
This is wild.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, really?
I don't know.
Bizarre. I mean, I keep hearing stories about people's babies getting a hold of guns and shooting their parents.
Yeah.
Maybe the babies are picking up a thing or two in the workshop.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Babies are fighting back.
What I like here is that the baby has noise-canceling headphones on. So when they shoot, the baby's ears are protected.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
So now are we just going to put that on as soon as we take the baby outside?
Yeah, I think so.
So no one's going to mess with you if your baby's wearing the noise-canceling headphones. They know you're packing heat. And they know you know how to use it. So bizarre.
I guess this is a thing. If there's a lot of gun owners and people are saying, oh, you need to be trained.
Mm-hmm. In all situations.
In all situations.
Including having a small child in a sling.
People are really scared.
Yeah.
People are pretty much afraid.
I'm just trying to understand what in Iowa they are afraid of. Like, in my mind, I've been to Iowa. It was years ago. And wasn't nobody there.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I don't know what they're...
Oh, man. That's weird.
That is really weird. It's really... Yeah.
People are freaked out.
Yeah.
People are super freaked out. I don't know.
This is not about guns or anything, but I'll tell you something that I did that I shouldn't have done, but I'll tell you anyway. So, I'm getting on the platform, on the PATH train, which is a little subway, and there was a man walking up, and he had a baby in a carrier. The baby was
Strapped on the front.
Strapped on the front. He's, and the baby's facing the father.
Okay.
And the baby's asleep. Cute. Fine.
Standard baby. Nothing special.
Yeah. This is, we get on the train. There's only a handful of people, so everyone gets a seat. The father sits down. But the way, the baby's legs are on the sides of the father's legs. So when the father sat down, the baby now is in a Russian split.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yes.
So baby wakes up.
Of course, because it's uncomfortable on baby.
Right, right. Now, we all know that babies are really flexible. They do all kinds of things with their feet.
Sure, but they're not meant to be tied. And
right.
They're so, not pretzels.
Can you imagine just being asleep and just hanging and being comfortable, and suddenly, boom, you're asleep.
Yeah.
Okay?
You're the Olympics.
So I'm sitting kind of diagonal from the father, and I'm watching the baby, who is now waking up and is like...
Is pissed.
Is struggling to now close... It's legs. Her legs. She's struggling to, like, and she's, like, and you could see her, like, shaking and squeaking.
And she's small. She doesn't have a lot of...
Yeah. And then she, boom, she'd fall back into the split. And then she tried to close her legs more, and she was trying to climb up the father. And she's trying to get some room so she could get her little legs on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't do it.
It's not about flair.
And then she's just, like, you know, now getting fussy because she doesn't want to be in this position.
Exactly, yeah. The guy didn't notice.
Yeah, he just, like, kind of patted her back a little. And so
a little bit of gas.
Yeah. So I decide, I'm like, he's not going to be responsive to me. I'm going to say, I'm going to just talk to him about what I'm witnessing here. Let's see how it goes down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not going to go down well, but I have to.
Well, you got
to
help that baby out. Yeah.
The baby's going to be fine. Let's face the facts.
It's it's uncomfortable. The thing is going to start screaming.
Yeah.
Right.
So I kind of walked over and I'm like, your baby's so cute. I'm like, you know, I just noticed that when you sat down, it forces the baby's legs into a Russian split. And I see her.
Did you say Russian split? Okay.
And I see her struggling. It looks like she's trying to
stick the landing on this thing.
She's trying to close her legs. She's trying to get in a more comfortable position.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me. Not smiling. It's like, she's just tired. And I was like, okay. And then not only that, another man sitting like away from him looks up from his paper and then is like, shakes his head. Like, can you believe that this woman comes up and says this?
What would a woman know about a baby?
Yeah.
What would you know?
And then the man sitting directly across from him, an older man, giant, he was like, you know, 6'3", he was, you know, maybe in his late 50s, is like, what, are you kidding? He's like, that baby's fine. That baby's got the best seat in the house. I wish I could be in that.
In a Russian split?
I wish I could, someone would carry me around like that. Oh, I would love to be in that seat. Ha, ha, ha. And I was like,
ew. That's terrible.
And so these guys, and then I looked at the father's hands again. I noticed he didn't have a ring on. I'm like, oh man, this guy's like.
He has no idea what's going on.
He's divorced and he's got a new baby and he's walking around with it.
Put his baby strapped on. Maybe he just got that baby earlier that day.
He has no idea. And now this woman comes up, strange woman is like.
Trying to offer some advice.
Yeah. But he's not hearing it. Yeah,
what a bitch.
He's not hearing it.
That's so funny.
And I knew he wouldn't hear me. But
he had to try.
Yeah, had to try.
I saw a guy the other day. It was a weird thing. Because, you know, on the subway, you see a lot of women that have so much equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So much equipment. And this brother got on. Also giant. Really big guy with a tiny baby. Just holding it.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was holding it properly. But he was like, I don't have shit. He had like a Pamper in his pocket. And like a bottle. But I was like, yes. Do you know what I mean? He's like, he didn't want to have all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like, I'm going to hold it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put this thing down anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want it going anywhere, rolling anywhere.
Right.
Oh, well, you tried.
I tried, but yeah, I could just imagine how it's just like another woman trying to tell me what to do with a baby.
I would be like, I don't know anything about babies. And if you told me anything, I'd probably be like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about babies. But, I mean, you could clearly see the baby was uncomfortable.
But I was watching him, like, yeah, I'm so sure this baby doesn't like being in the split.
Because she was trying to get out of it.
Yeah. And it wasn't just fussy. It wasn't just, you know.
Moving around.
It was definitely a repeat of get me into a.
You know, this baby is in a split half the day. She's. It's killing her. Oh, I'll do a beer news.
Beer news. Oh my God, there's so much alcohol.
Yeah.
News.
Alcohol kind of. Actually, this is a sort of a listener email. It's from my husband, Greg. He did send it to me, and I am reading it on the air.
Are you kidding?
I am.
He sent it to you?
He sent it to me.
I'm hurt.
It's the final frontier, beer. So there's already Federation beer. There's already, and there's a beer called Vulcan Ale and Klingon Warnog. And now they're coming up with another kind of Star Trek beer based on the Trouble with Tribbles episode.
Okay, yeah.
So everybody knows about the Tribbles, the little cute things. They get into the grain silo in the episode, and the problem is they eat all the grain.
Okay.
And then they start multiplying like crazy. So in the episode, the grain was called Quadro Triticale.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a modified triticale, which is a real kind of a grain or something like that. So these guys have engineered a kind of triticale, and they're making a beer out of it.
Oh.
And it's a Star Trek related beer.
That's going to do well.
Yeah, I think it's going to do well. And the can looks really cool. It says Space, the Final Frontier. And then on the back, it has some information about it. And it's a beer. It is 5.3%.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not bad for a beer. It's a style of beer that was brewed at the turn of the 19th century. It's deep orange to light amber in color. That's kind of, it sounds like you would like that.
Yeah.
And there's a soft cereal grain flavor reminiscent of lightly toasted bread. What's good about this beer is that there's a small amount of floral and spicy notes, and it's not really hoppy or bitter.
See, I like that.
So you like it to be hoppy, or you don't like it to be hoppy?
Less hoppy. Yeah. I think everybody got on board this hoppy train. The IPAs, the India Pale Ale,
mm-hmm.
And they think that's the classy beer.
Really?
Yeah, because the pale ales, like the India Pale Ales, mm-hmm. they started because when the British were going to India mm-hmm. to colonize, they would bring their beer with them, but the voyage was so long that the beer would go bad.
Okay.
So they ended up putting more hops in the beer to help preserve it on its ocean voyage.
I didn't know that. I thought it was driven by flavor.
No.
Okay.
No, this was just something. It was just to preserve it.
Mm-hmm.
So because they got to have their beer.
Yeah.
When they get to India.
That's interesting.
And so that process just kept happening, and they just kept drinking it, and it turned into a thing.
I don't understand why they didn't just drink whatever Indians were drinking, but that's a whole.
I know, like, right? Yeah.
Like, if I'm coming to colonize you, I'm probably just going to use what you have.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring my own stuff with me. That's okay. Interesting. So, yeah, this is the final frontier beer. Unfortunately, it's not available in the U.S. as of yet. You can get it in Canada. And they're going to be debuting at the Ottawa Comic-Con that was happening later in May. So, at some point, you should be able to get it. I've had the Romulan Ale? Oh, Vulcan Ale.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had Romulan Ale as well. It's pretty good. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.